This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Talo for lover and welcome to Nijan Footy Fridays, your Pacifica preview for the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is a man who I usually see a few times a week, Easter, a few trips to Fiji. Sorry to leave you, Tinarau, but I'm back, I'm here and I'm pumped.
Kia rana, Sammy, and kia rana to everyone listening. It's been a minute, Sammy. We had the Easter weekend off. How was your weekend? Seeing you over at Fiji?
Yeah, I was in Fiji, left the family again, and came back for a feed, just in time for the feed, so it was outstanding.
Your wife would be happy as...
She is, actually.
I end up taking the kids up to foster with the in-laws and the wife. You might have seen on my socials where me and the boys had a bit of a footy match.
Yeah, I saw you. It's a humble one of the twins.
So I got twin boys, one looks silly by stepping him and then giving him the little birdie. I'm like, all right, my turn. And I've just
gave you the bird.
He gave my son, his brother, the bird.
Oh, that's why you had to teach him a lesson.
I'll steam through you while you try and tackle me and then make an example of you. So
outstanding parenting.
Built my confidence. But a huge show today. We've got Totai Kefu who will cover all the Super Rugby and all the Super W this coming weekend. We've also got Sala Tonga Tuki, our NRLW superstar, who will cover the league preview. And I have a nice recipe sent from my mother for you, Sammy.
Oh, beautiful. Hopefully you brought the food with it because I'm, pretty hungry at this time. But let's rip into the show.
Hi, my name is Faitala Moleka and you're listening to Nijan Footy.
Yeah, let's dive into some big news from the past week since we last chatted, T. Feels like a lifetime ago.
Oh, we've got a lot to catch up on,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Let's get into the rugby league.
I'll start with last night. So round 5, we had the Brisbane Broncos take on the Melbourne Storm in Melbourne to kick off round 5. I thought it was a very, very entertaining game with plenty of Nijan players who had huge performances for their teams. 11 tries in total, Sam, in this game. Went back and forward through the Broncos and the Storm.
I think it was like a cricket score out there, thinking the way that the scoreboard was ticking over, it was almost like try for try.
Well, we've seen Samoa and Dean Mariner for the Brisbane Broncos scoring the first try after an intercept runaway from 5'8 Ezra Mann, and another standard Xavier Coates special leaping into the air to score a try for the Storm. He has to be training with them AFL teams in Melbourne.
Well, where their complex is, the Melbourne Storm, they're in between two AFL great teams. So I'm sure they'll be able to get Israel Folau used to do it. They used to get him over, the AFL coaches over, carry that big turtle pad.
Yeah, the big tackle bag on the back.
On the back. And then you
stand there while the outside backs, they jump up, throw their knees into the bag and catch the ball above their head.
Have you ever had to be the person holding the turtle pad?
I have once. I didn't enjoy it.
I got sacked as well because you got to pick the spot where they're supposed to be, can't sit, and you're running backwards and you go here and then the guy goes, you're in the wrong spot. I was like, oh,
well, if you watch Xavier Coates during that try, he does that. He jumps up, throws his knees up onto the defending player, puts his hands up, catches the ball midair, puts it down for a try. But I thought my MVP of this game was Tongan Aliisa Katoa. So the man runs for 122 meters, right side back rower. He makes 4 tackle breaks and 31 tackles in total, but then scores 2 great tries on top of that for the Storm.
27 metres out from the Brisbane line, dummy half Grant. Short ball right to Kama Kamitha. Charges up the centre of the ruck and he's tackled 14 metres out from the goal line. He'll play the ball now to Grant and it's a set restart for the Melbourne Storm as well as they attack to the right through Katoa. Ran through the first and he's over to score, Aliisa Katoa. Pure power through Ezra Mam and maybe one other as well. Aliisa Katoa hits back for the Melbourne Storm.
The Storm winning this one 34-32, 41 out of 56 wins over the Broncos now the Storm have.
In total, as in like since they've been going at it.
Wow. Not just the Melbourne in total. So 41 out of 56, a huge percentage right there. And there was history made also in this game. I thought you were tall, Sammy, but we had the rugby league's tallest player. And he's still young, so I think he's still growing. Ben Tekura. The man is 6'8", which is 205 centimetres. And he made his debut last night for the Brisbane Broncos. Ends up scoring the try to get them into an opportunity to try and win this game. But he also steamrolled a lot of Storm players and made over 100 metres on his debut game.
That's 10 centimetres taller than me. Like that's huge.
If you grab your hair
and pull it all the way up.
That's Ben Tekura right there.
Right there.
So Big Ben, wow. Welcome to the NRL, mate.
And come play Union, second row.
No, don't go play Union.
Mate, you earn a killing overseas.
But anyways, we'll move on to some other news. We have Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, the Samoan Kiwi, playing his 200th.
Oh, I thought he was going to say he's on the show. We have him about to walk in.
I'll get him on the show.
Yeah, nice. I just need him.
He's a very busy man, but I need him on a Monday that he's free or a Friday. but he plays his 200th NRL game versus the Rabbitohs this weekend. He played 84 games for the Roosters, the rest for the Warriors. A huge achievement. And, mate, his game that he played last week against the Knights at fullback was unbelievable.
His footwork to go bang, bang, and then as a defender, you think, oh, he's going to step again. But then he decides to go, boom, and bump you off. You just sit in that chair, he's like, please step me, I'd rather. And he comes, oh.
Just goes, mate. left foot, go on your bum, and then keeps his feet rolling. But huge achievement for Roger and his family. Wish him all the best this week against the Rabbitohs. We also seen Samoan and Cook Islander Francis Molo. He has signed a 2-year extension at the St. George Illawarra Dragons, keeping the 29-year-old at the club to the end of the 2026 season. And speaking of extensions, your cousin Isaiah Katoa, surely he'll be buying a couple coffees when he comes
yes,
down.
Surely.
3-year extension at the Dolphins, keeping him at the end to the end of 2028.
So what's that make him 15 or something when he finishes up there? The Dolphins, the young fella. But we should mention he's Tongan Cook Islander as well, so to give the Cook Islanders something to cheer about as well. But yeah, 3-year extension, I think it's a great deal for himself, his family, and I think he's going to get a lot out of the next 3-year period, especially if he keeps performing the way he did after not being selected in round one and bouncing back the way he has.
How old will he be at the end of 2028?
I think he's 23. He'll be 23.
So he's still got plenty of time.
Oceans of time. So, oceans.
Congratulations to the Katoa family. And some other huge news that happened while we were away, Sammy. NRLW expansion. So two teams have been added. One from the New Zealand Warriors and the other from the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs.
Yeah, the doggies.
So we will touch more on that with Sulla, but, mate, this is going to be huge for the women's game.
Yeah, nice. I'm looking forward to that.
And let's head over to the rugby. What do you got for us?
Yeah, rugby. Obviously, I was in Fiji 2 weeks in a row over in the beautiful land of the happiest people on earth, I would say. And I know I'm Tongan, but surely I'm Fijian somewhere along the line. I have to be.
It was raining there, though, eh?
Yeah, it was bucketing down.
I smile when you post videos and it's raining because I'm like, yes.
It makes me feel good that
you're there on a working holiday trip and it's raining. I'm like, yeah.
Remove the holiday word. It's working the whole time. I'm going at it. But it's such a beautiful country. No matter rain, hail, shine. And when I'm talking about rain, it was flooding there. Like, no one cares. Everyone just moves on like nothing. Schools get cancelled, but rugby doesn't. You still see them playing on the side of the road in the small patch of grass, knee deep, scoring tries. So beautiful place, loved it. And let's just talk quickly on the Drawers game last week, because I know I wasn't here, but they played against the Western Force and they played at Churchill Park in Lotoka. And let's just say those conditions were that crazy. It was a mud bath out there. And Frank Lamani played his 50th Super Rugby game, got man of the match as well. So when I interviewed him after the game, I just asked him, mate, you're a boy from the village. What was it like? You know, you get to play your 50th Super Rugby game here in Fiji, and I think it was about 30 people from his village came out to the game. He just said, I just didn't think this was ever possible. So that was a special moment for him and his family. They scrambled all the tickets. Lucky it was probably raining because he was able to get more tickets off the boys to give to his family. And then just the conditions. Like, it was close to being caught off because...
Oh, was it that wet?
It was that wet. And luckily, the... like, no one was on the main field at Churchill Park like throughout the week. And so it drained okay, but it was still puddles and mud everywhere. So Ben Donaldson, the Western Force fly half, you know, I was watching him in the warm-up and he's trying to get his ball drop right for kickoffs.
Yeah.
He's just trying to find a dry spot to bounce it.
It wouldn't bounce.
It just got stuck in the puddle. And then one of the other boys after the game from the Western Force, I was like, mate, what was it like out there? And he goes, there were frogs on the field. I was like, what?
Actual frogs.
Actual frogs bouncing around. Not just one. He goes, there was frogs everywhere on the field. And he goes, I wow. stepped on one. He goes, his stud went through a frog. And so automatically they're thinking, I didn't sign up for this.
The Western Force are based in Perth.
In Perth.
Where it's just dry.
Yep.
Now they've gone overseas to Fiji where they think, oh, we've got an advantage here. You know, we are used to these conditions.
Yeah.
And it's flooded.
That's the thing. They're prepping all week for the heat, like thinking it's going to be hot, it's humid. It was still slippery, even with the humidity and now the wet. But, yeah, and they got over there a day earlier as well to go, yeah, we're going to, you know, help us acclimatise and prep well. And then just the conditions were just not what they were expecting.
Watching parts of it, the Drua played to the conditions the way they knew how to play in them in that, you know, bath.
Yep.
A few tries were scored off kicks as well. They got the right measurements on it, right weight, and then the chaser was just diving on them.
You're exactly right, because we saw Yosef Fomasi, he's on fire at the moment. He scored another try, but young Isaiah Armstrong-Ravula, he knew what to do with that ball, because sometimes people have put too much on that ball in Fiji and it just rolls dead, bit of a smaller in goal. But, you know, he put a lot on his kicks because he knew it was just going to hold up. There was no roll on the ball and then come through, pounce on the try. But that's, you know, prepping for that game, you just think for Fijians, as I said, no matter if it's wet, if it's hot, it's like it's normal. They just roll with it. So nothing changes in their mindset on how to play. And for the other teams, it's the first thing you think of as soon as you hit, it's hot. Oh, it's raining. Oh, there's frogs on the field. Oh, there's all these things that you just don't expect that subconsciously affects your mindset. But, yeah, remarkable game and the Drua on fire. They're away this week, so that'll be interesting for them. We'll chat with Toto a little bit later. But that was my trip to Fiji.
Shout out to Toops as well for covering
for you. Oh, thanks, Toops. Besides that minor tip you gave, mate, you did an outstanding job. But what else we've got there? Oh, the inaugural Pacifica Rugby Hall of Fame. This was huge. Like, we've got some amazing talent in the Pacifica community that have, now passed away and are still alive now. That it's a great initiative considering what the Pacifica community have done, probably in both codes, but for rugby.
So this is the first time they're doing the Hall of Fame for the Pacifica.
Yep. And we just look at the... look at the names here. Waisele Serevi, Fijian 7 superstar. When you think of Hong Kong 7s, they're playing this week. That was him when I first watched Serevi. The original Goosey, the great late Jonah Lomu. Again,
I was about to mention this Jonah.
The best ever haircut with the fringe. I had that haircut too.
he changed the game for many kids.
Oh, he did. He had a PlayStation game after him. Outstanding. George Smith, Brian Lima, the chiropractor. Then we've also got Seuli Fia. Oh, I'm going to hang on. I've got to get this right here. Seuli Fia of Mausili, Samoa, New Zealander. And we've also got Tuifa Sisina, Sir Brian Williams. And then there was also Black Ferns winger Ruby Tui won most influential Pacifica woman player in the world. And Adi Savia won the male equivalent. And we've also got Mana Fe'ele'o from Wallace and Futuna won the women's breakthrough player of the year. So, yeah, a bit happening in the world, in the rugby world of Hall of Fame.
A lot of recognition.
Recognition.
There.
And well, let's just hear from Sarevi's daughter, who plays for the Drua, and she had some, you know, amazing things to say about her old man.
Sorry, it's huge. We're so proud of him as a family. Growing up around him, obviously, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of downs too, but he doesn't let that affect him. We're so proud of him, even though he's not playing anymore. He always has time to go back into the community and give back to what has taken him this far.
Yes, that's Asinate Sarevi, the daughter of the great man. She plays second row for the Drua. Outstanding player too.
Is she American?
Yeah, she got player of the match last week against the Western Force, and I interviewed her, and I just wasn't expecting that San Diego accent has come through. But yeah, so they've got family. She was saying they've got some in Japan, some in New Zealand, some in America, in Fiji. So they're spread around the globe. But yeah, special moment for the Sarevi family. Absolute legend of the game. And in other news as well, Manu Samoa have announced their new coach, Mahoney Schwalga. Played for Samoa during 40 times, played at the 2011 World Cup, also played for the Chiefs. He's a hooker, so he replaces Selan Mapusua. So I think when we talk to Toto, I reckon there'll be a good chat around, you know, his thoughts on the new Samoan coach, and maybe if he's got word on who the new Tongan coach is, because that hasn't been announced yet.
First, let's get to Sala Tonga Tuki and cover a bit of the Rugby League preview.
The Rugby League preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Sala Tonga Tuki.
Yes, back again we have our Fetu Samoa and NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters and Tigers best and fairest, Sala Tonga Tuki. Sala, talk to us about the mood in Tigerland at the moment. Two wins in a row, and it must be good to be winning in the winning circle.
Yes, it's been a while since we've had back-to-back wins like that, but vibe's been crazy and high around the office. We're starting to notice, like, the staff, like, in the football department be really, like, talkative and more interactive with other staff around the office or, like, department and that. So, yeah, it's been really good, and it's really – I can see the boys and that are there, like, in keen – they're just in keen mood to, like, just train and just get around each other. I've never heard them so loud, like, where the gym sits and where the admin staff and that sits. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, you can hear, like, the loud musing stuff, but it's not cool when we can't get our work done. So. But it's all good. As long as they're happy, now that's results like that sort of drive.
Winning, the difference between winning and losing, it's just – oh. One's a funeral, one's a wedding.
Well, you just reminded me, Sala, that a few weeks ago I came into the office and then this winning streak happened. And then last week I went to the Dragons and then they started winning. I must have that kind of energy.
Oh, is it you? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's that inspiration.
Yeah, okay.
What do you reckon?
Right. We must be the lucky
charm. I'm not running with it, but we'll wait till the end of the season, round 25 it is, and then we'll see if it's still working.
What's that mood? What's that mood like? Has it translated over to the NRLW, into your space? Has it given you that extra bit of inspiration to be successful this year?
Well, definitely, it's like definitely giving us inspiration to hopefully follow in the boys' like full steps. Snap, but like obviously, they've got a longer season ahead, and we don't know what that's going to look like. But I feel personally like, and I've even like explained to some other players that we don't feel quite impacted like with how the boys and at their results, whether it's a win or a loss. I feel like it impacts more the club itself. Like, so when I sort of go in, just I'm going into the office, I'm not a player, but going in for work, I can definitely feel the impact on the club as a whole. Like, so for example, like, we can't block the outside noise, of course. So when we're walking, like, in public and you can hear someone saying, like, for example, the boys lost and they're like, oh, how shit were they, blah, blah, blah. Like, obviously, it's not nice. Yeah, sorry, lack of language, but it's not nice to hear it, though. Yeah, you can't stop. Like freedom of speech. Like, you can't stop those people from saying how they feel about, you know, the games and that. But then when the results are, like, going well for us and they're winning, like, definitely it's it motivates, like, for me, it motivates me. Like, every time I train, I always train with purpose, and I train to, like, think that, right, I've seen, like, this network for them. And when I go into my training sessions, whether it's in Origin Pathways or for West Tigers optional sessions, I try to implement that into, like, my training. Like, if it's working for them, I'm sure it's going to work for someone else. So you don't know until you give it a try. And, it's a bit of a 50-50 for me, like, whether it motivates me or not. But, yeah, well, if they lose, like, we support them still and just hope that, you know, they can get out there and get the win and get the job done. So,
You mentioned it's different for you girls because it's a shorter season, which means you have to get out the blocks fast and get those early wins. How do you prepare for that leading into the season, knowing that you have to be onto it come round one?
Like, it doesn't help our pre-season is also short. I'm pretty sure, like, we get only, like, a month to, like, train as a whole squad, like, proper time. So how do we prepare for those kind of games? I think, like, it's just belief, hey, and just like, believe in your, like, core values and that. And if everyone's on the same page, then, like, I think, like, you'd be that unstoppable team on the field. I was speaking to one of the girls yesterday, like, because we did our field session and there's only about three of us that turned up. And I was like to them, like, imagine if everyone bought into this, like, we wanted to start, like, a running club as an extras. Like, yeah. This is just hard work you want to do outside of, like, your actual training sessions. And I'm a big believer that when you're actually doing the work and that, like, at different times and no one else, I believe our competitors aren't doing it. So I try to get the girls into that mentality that when, like, hard work does pay off and that, like, these extras and that. So, yeah, I feel like everyone buys into team culture, like, and that's in pre-season and that, we'll definitely come prepared. And it doesn't matter, like, it can be a new team, like, full of new players and that, and you don't have to, like, use the excuse of, oh, that team's been together for so long, like, they play so well together. I think anyone can do the job as long as everyone buys into it, like, all the 1%ers and that.
Yeah, that's definitely the key. You're not waiting till 4 weeks of pre-season. The work's been done now, so when you get there, you hit the ground running. But in other exciting news, which is great for the women's game, is the expansion of two more teams coming into the NRLW 2025. The Warriors come back into the comp, and my doggies coming in. So are you off contract?
Your doggies.
Yeah, my doggies. Are you off contract at all when the dogs come in?
No, I've got 2 years.
Oh, okay. 2026, we're seeing dogs' colours. Perfect. Nah. But that's good news for the women's game.
I'm definitely proud, like, that there'll be more opportunities for, like, you know, the next generation and pathways and that. But it could be a hit and miss. This, like, it's either, like, I'm looking at more quality. Like, we've been told, like, since we started NRW that, you know, you guys are the products. These are the ones that are going to drive sponsors and all this stuff, like revenues and that. And obviously for a lot of players, like, we're all wanting full-time, right, like, with NRW. But we keep getting told that NRW, like, full-time won't happen until the funding is there for it. So when we speak about funding and that, like, you got to look at those aspects, which what I mentioned was the revenues and, like, the product. Like, are we actually driving, like, I don't know, probable cause? Like, I just feel like we've all played, a lot of players locked in with their contracts with the 10 clubs that are already in the comp. It's a matter of, like, who are you going to poach for Warriors and Bulldogs? Because I know a lot of Warrior key players are locked in other clubs for another 2 years or so.
I know the,
like,
answers.
This one's, yeah, I've been touching on this answers. Topic a lot since the news came out with a fair few, like, of, like, players, not just from West Tigers but from other NRW clubs. And I feel like that instead of, like, expanding it, I feel like we could have waited one more year. Like, the money that they've used to fund these two new clubs, their license and because of the salary cap and that, they could have bought that into the 10 clubs that are already now current in the seat, like, in the competition. And what that would have looked like for all those 10 clubs is more rounds, more, we could have expanded our rounds, right? Like, we're all looking at, we want more game in that, because now we don't have our in our New South Wales competition running pre-NRW. It's like, well, we can't be doing this whole cycle of 6 months of no footy again and then put us into like a 1 month preseason into an actual just what two, three months of footy into reps and stuff like that. So I feel like they can, I don't know, they probably have their strategic plan thing, but it's just not clear to a lot of us players out here that are like, oh, okay, like we're rolling with it. But I feel like that you've got all those great young guns coming from Tash Gale, Lisa Fiola, and once they hit their NRLW debut, mind you, they're going to come in not as marquee signings. They're going to come in as like your minimum signings, like, to make up the squads. And that kind of money for those players isn't like quite big still. Yeah, I'm just big on looking after the welfare of these young players and that coming up and making sure that they don't have to go through the sacrifices of what the pioneers have been trying to drive away from. Like, it's like working jobs and then like still coming to trainings and stuff like that.
You make sense, but you mentioned one of the challenges for the Warriors is that a lot of the Kiwi girls have already signed with other NRLW teams. But I think I have the answer where all the rugby union girls that are based in New Zealand, they can all go sign for the Warriors, learn the game of rugby league, and then we just keep
that's
them
your,
here.
That's your answer. I've got the answer. That was about 5 minutes. I thought this was going to be, wow, he's got it. I'm about to be enlightened.
Mate, I wouldn't be surprised. Anyways, thank you for your thoughts on that. Let's move on to a huge shock to us. Liz Tafuna signing to your ex-club. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I reckon she's going to be a powerhouse for them. I don't know what the signing tracking's looking like for Roosters. But, yeah, I reckon she'll be, like, explosive, like, powerhouse. And she probably could play anywhere. She's got the build for, like, to play in the middles or just anywhere on the edge. She's got speed and that, given her background of union. So I'm actually excited for her and seeing what Strangey's had to say. And I believe what Strangey says based on, like, character of reference and stuff. Like, I know Strangey really well. And he said that, you know, she'll be a wrecking force and that for them. So I'm really excited to see her, you know, do big things in that for the Roosters. They're such a stacked side, hey?
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. You're alluding to, like, their signing, tracking and stuff like that. So you're
under the... Well, you said,
is that what you're saying, under the sombrero, as they say?
You said you have a good... You said you have a good... You said you have a good...
It's all the money, mate.
You would know firsthand. Both of you know firsthand.
You said you have a good relationship with Strangey, who is the head coach of the Roosters NRLW team. Now, it could have just been that kind of energy that Strangey gave to Liz.
She was going to the Raiders, like, all male Raiders.
Until she met the head coach, Strangey. And then he's like, she's like, I want to be there. That's where I want to be.
Whatever we want to tell ourselves or tell the public, we will never know behind closed doors. But
we love you, Uncle Nick.
Everyone loves it. It's a good story.
I felt like it was going to come like down to the Roosters. Like, so the four NRL clubs that went to the Las Vegas, mind you, that's where they did the Vegas combined thing for like the US players and that, to see what rugby league's like. And I know for a fact Roosters would have had someone travel with them as a scout, like, but to go to this affiliate like combined trial thing, and she would have definitely been a stood out in their eyes. And when they see something that just catches their eyes, they will make sure they get their hands on it. And definitely, there you go, she's secured. So let's see them, like, her run over people.
It's all by the book.
No, I'm just happy that she's here playing rugby league.
Yeah,
looking forward to the rest of the weekend. Give us a preview of two games that stand out for you this coming weekend.
I'm keen for the Raiders and Eels game, but they're both teams that are coming off the back of losses from last week, right? And the positions that they're sitting on in the ladders, 8th and 9th. So it's sort of like sketching to stay in a top 8. That's every team's goal, right? Is to sit safe in a top 8. I'm probably going to back the Raiders in this game.
Ooh.
I'm not a fan of
that. I'll write this down. This might come handy for when I have to do my tips because I'm struggling there. So next one.
Excuse me. Are you even allowed a bet? Like,
no, for my tipping comp for knees and footy.
I know. Oh, do you have one?
Yeah, and I'm losing.
Do you not listen to your show?
No.
You've been on here for about four or five times now.
All platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're on there.
But yes, big game. You're going for the Raiders against the Eels. Why?
I'm going with Raiders. I've just been liking their style of footy. Like, I just think they've got the forward pack to challenge the pack for Eels.
Yep.
You got Josh Papali, Josh Tapanek. But like last week, I feel like those players, they were too comfortable. Like, it's like they didn't want to get out there and do the grit work and stuff like that. But I feel like they're due for a big game in the middle. And when you hear the player likes of Junior Polo and Campbell Gillard.
Yep.
For me, like when I hear players' big names at like in other teams that I'm coming up against, like, you know, I've got to give myself that bit of like confidence. Like, I think I can go up against these guys and like really give it to them.
Yeah, literally. What other game are you looking forward to watching this weekend?
The Penrith and the Manly game.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Are you going for Manly, did you say, against Penrith?
No, definitely. I'm backing Penrith in this one. They've just been great. Like, Penrith, I feel like they found their feet again, like just the way they kicked off their season last year, and they're starting to find that. I don't know. I feel like Manly can sort of match them as well. And they know they need to play their best footy here because Penrith's discipline and their completions, like, just, you know, you got to stay above 80% to sort of like want to stay in arm wrestle and stuff like that. But yeah, I've been pretty impressed with Taniela Paseka.
Yeah, he's been good for Manly.
He's a beast.
He would have to be my heart as well.
Last year, he was like, on and off the bench, like for them. And this year, he's just like consistent as ever. And I think that's someone who's going to really go up against Will with Moses Leota, James Fisher-Harris. I think he's definitely that player that's going to definitely challenge those two. And it's James Fisher-Harris' game back from injury. So I'll be excited to see how he goes coming back from that. But, yeah, I'm back in the Penrith in this game. And then you've got the backs. It's a lot of Polynesian players across the back line here for both teams. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they sort of go up against each other. But, yeah, my biggest one in the back line is probably Tolu Tau Katoa and Isaac Tago. That's who I'm gunning for in that battle in the centres, really.
Beautiful. It is an absolute honour to have you to share your info, to share your insight on these games, and especially when it comes to your journey and NRLW game. And remember, Salah,
you can listen
to this episode wherever you get your podcasts. But
no, look, I didn't know you were on the podcast then. So I've been going on the link. So
We're on all platforms.
But thank you again, Salah. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch you
next Friday.
On Nijin Footy Fridays.
Have a good one.
Hey guys, it's AB Coates here, and you guys are listening to Nijin Footy.
Recipe of the week.
As I said, Sammy, in the introduction, I got this recipe from my mother. When you get to a Pacific Island dinner table or a function or event, what is one of the dishes that you look forward to going and eating or trying?
This is my go-to because I feel it's always the safest bet because it might be out there for a long time on that table before you get to eat. Prayers sometimes go for a long time. And I offer the potato salad and the chop suey.
Chop suey it is.
Hey?
Yes. So Samoans, they call it supa suey.
Yep.
We call it chop suey. I always think Cook Islands make the best chop suey.
That's a lot of Tongans do.
But then there's always different flavours. Some reason, I feel like the Tongans are a bit lighter. They don't use as much soy sauce. Then you've got the Samoan flavour. You've got the Cook Island flavour. Anyways, I'll share my mum's one. Well, I think she went into a bit too much detail here. And I was like, Mum, basic is what we're looking for. Because the more ingredients that we put on, the more chances the listeners will not go and get
cook
them
it.
And cook it. So she mentioned, garlic. So the ingredients are garlic, ginger's optional. Cook Islanders don't add ginger, but the Samoans do apparently. sunflower or olive oil, meat. So it can be either beef strips, chicken breast, chopped up into small square sizes. Also, so you choose either beef or chicken. We've also seen people use corned beef or pork. And we've got sliced onions. And the main ingredient is the vermicelli noodles.
Yep.
So you buy them at the Asian shop. Now, this is influenced from the Asian dishes. And
yeah, makes sense.
And then we've got dark mushroom sauce, soya or oyster sauce, and you can add veggies if you want. And my mom,
you need to add the veggies, people. That's not optional. All right?
If you want. I like it pretty basic. But basically, you just fry with oil the garlic and ginger. Then you add the meat and you cook it till it's tender, or when the chicken is cooked. And then in a bowl, cover the vermicelli with hot water. Let it stir until soft, and then cut the vermicelli noodles because they come in longer strips.
Yeah.
You cut them till it's a little bit shorter, so it's easier to eat. You add the dark mushroom sauce, then you add the vermicelli to the garlic, onion, and meat. You add the mushroom and the soya sauce, then you add it all into one big pot. Add the veggies if you want, she has added, and then you have it. You have the chop suey.
Oh, that's outstanding. I love that. Do you know what? I reckon I've made the best one for our family. Do you know what the secret was?
Honey.
No. Not for the auto, the honey, no. I actually used a really good cut of meat. I used Wagyu. It was my butcher mate gave me some Wagyu. Scotch fillet Wagyu, mind you.
So it was soft then when you bite it, it's not chewy.
And then sliced it up nicely, gave me a big bit, threw it in there. And then what disappointed me was some of the kids, you know, when they don't eat all their food and they're scraping it off into the bin. And I was like, you better get that out of the bin.
Just go get that meat. That cost me an arm and a leg.
Well, that's what I said, but I got it for free. But
I like the chicken just because of the same thing. The meat is soft when you're biting it. You want to have that consistency through your mouth when you're chewing it with the noodles.
Stop it.
And yes, you have to have the veggies. So
thanks, T's mum.
Yeah, chop suey for this week's recipe.
Oh, that's unreal, T. Thank you to your mum. I'm going to hopefully get some of that next week for lunch. But let's get straight to the big Kef, Tote Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Tote Kefu.
With Tote Kefu.
Joining us each week is the most recent coach of the Ikaletahi. He played for the Wallabies, absolute legend for the Queensland Reds. And for a very short time after rooming with the Big Dill, he was Big Kef, except to his wife, the man, Tote Kefu. Kef, welcome back to the show.
Big Kef.
Great to be back. Good to see you both.
Mate, we are pumped. I'm back from Fiji. It's good to see your head here and ready to rip in, talk all things rugby, because we've just been doing rugby league. Done with it. So let's go. What have you got for us, Kef? With Pacific Hall of Fame, big names. Didn't see your name on there. What happened?
Yeah, they celebrated that last week. I think the night before the Blues and Moana game. Some big names being inducted. It was Heritage Week, so they celebrated that, and they started a Pacifica Hall of Fame. I don't know exactly who got inducted, but I saw some big names, some of them Serevi, Big Brian Lima, the Cryopactor, even our own Georgie Smith was over there. I think he got inducted. He's always good for a junket.
It's only a junket for people who don't get on them. That's what they say. But with yourself, like obviously you've got to be in those talks. Like, Jonah Lomu was also in there as well. But
I was going to say, have you got some beef with the selectors or something? Surely.
There's some bigger names before me. I think there were a couple of trailblazers before me. It was Big Willie O. There was the human skewer, Ili Tabua. there were some Pacific Islanders that were well before me, and I followed them, and they encouraged me to play the game. So, I'm hopefully down the track.
We'll campaign it Kef, we will.
Well, you're in the Nijan Footy Hall of Fame, that's for sure.
In my book as well. So, which means nothing. But let's go Super Rugby news. Mate, the Drua over there in Fiji, they seem unstoppable. They're playing away this week against the Rebels. And Moana's coming off the back of a couple of losses, but you've picked Kyron Taumoifoloa and Lotu Onisi, who have been killing it week in, week out. Yeah, but thoughts on those two teams?
Drua had a really good win against Western Force that came over. Poor Western Force. I don't think they've played in the rain for the last 3 years. certainly not going to get any rain in Perth. The conditions look atrocious. What were they like?
Yeah, I was just saying that before. It was like flooding. The Force came over a day earlier, you know, just to prep, and then it was flash flooding, and there was frogs on the field. Jumping around, and Ben Donalds is trying to get his ball dropped for his kickoffs in the warm-up, and there was just not moving. So it's tough conditions, but look, which actually brings me to a question. Like, it seems that when you prep for playing in Fiji, everyone talks about, oh, we know it's going to be tough conditions or whatnot, but what would you actually do during the week to prepare you for tough conditions if you were traveling over there from New Zealand or Australia?
Well, I think the conditions you're most likely going to get in Fiji is that humid, sweaty, hot kind of condition. So you've got to cater for the slippery ball, and you could probably throw the ball in a bucket. You know, I've seen teams do that at home before they travel to Fiji. But the torrential rain and the ground was absolutely soggy, and the ball didn't bounce. They're quite hard to prepare for. But I was listening to an interview after the game. It was one of the Force coaches, and they said they were prepared for it. They obviously checked the weather forecast, so they knew it was torrential. They just didn't realise it was going to be worse than that. but they had a plan of being set piece dominant, being direct, playing field possession. They just didn't get that. I heard that he said that the set piece was inaccurate. They were quite poor to deliver possession to the backs. I watched the game. I thought that halves combination of Lomani and Isaiah, if they can keep those two together, they're going to be absolutely unbeatable for the Fiji moving forward. I have a feeling, you know, there's big European clubs are going to be circling for that 5'8" Isaiah. He's playing. He basically was a difference. I thought kick well for field position, kicked his goals when he needed to, and that was a difference in the end. And the thing with Drua is, no matter what conditions you're playing in, sweaty, like they still throw the ball around.
Yeah.
They were still able to score three tries. Four scored two tries, but could you imagine if it was an Australian team playing in those games, the score would have been 6-3. You know, the Drua was able to put on an absolute clinic in moving the ball in those conditions. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, Isaiah, his name seems to come up a fair bit over the last few weeks since
he's kicking at 80%.
Super Rugby has started, so he's really stepping up. But speaking of the Drua, that's the start of the three bye weeks, so less rugby to watch. Just four games this weekend, and we have the Drua versus the Rebels. You know, what are you keen to see here?
Yeah, well, look, this is a game that they should win and can win. So if they're serious about making the finals, they need to win this game. You know, Rebels are hit and miss at the moment. They're going to be tough at home. I think it's going to be a close one. It can go either way, but look, if I was a betting man, I'd back Drua. They've got a bit of momentum now. They are playing away from home, but they need to win these type of games away from home. You know, it's not the Blues, it's not the Hurricanes, it's the Rebels in Melbourne, and I think they're a good chance.
Moana Pacifica obviously coming off the back of a couple of heavy losses. Not easy to play the Chiefs in Waikato, especially them coming off a loss against the Crusaders, so they'll be pretty hungry. You know, what do you think Tana would be doing to get his troops up for this week?
Yeah, well, if you look at the team sheet, he's made a host of changes. And I think the last 2 weeks, Moana have been dished up pretty much. You go back 2 weeks in Canberra, the Brumbies ran a clinic. They were absolutely unbelievable, really clinical, really efficient, set piece dominant, always hard to beat Brumbies on a Friday night down in bloody Canberra. So that's always hard. But then you watch a game last week, Blues absolutely put on a clinic as well. You know, they probably should have scored another two or three tries, I thought. They looked really, really a team that's going to make the finals. I thought the way the Blues played is something similar to what the Moana should play. Like, there was a lot of offloads. They played through the middle. It looked really unstructured, but it was structured. And I think that's the way Moana should play. Moana, they had the ball a number of times in their own half. And when the other team turned it over, Moana kicked it away a lot. I just think I'd like him to be a little bit more risky and play with the ball in hand a lot more other than kicking. I just think they're getting a little bit too structured. And if you look at Drua, you know, they're offloading everything. They're chancing everything. I know it's easy for me to say. I'm a coach watching and from outside. And, you know, I think it could be the difference between losing by 40 and losing by more if you take those risks. But I think, you know, Moana are still a chance for the finals. They take the top eight. So I think that's Tana's mindset. This week, as we talked about earlier, he's made a whole host of changes, which I think is fair. I think he's got to rotate the squad and just inject some fresh blood.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that Moana should chance their arm a bit. You know, they got nothing to lose when they play these more structured teams and present something different, and see what happens. But moving on to the Super W, you know, we're 3 weeks into it. Which Nijan players are standing out to you so far?
Geez, the Drua team. Geez, I love that centre, Thumu.
Thumu, killing it.
Like, she's big, she's strong, she's athletic. I saw that line that she ran off the back of the line out.
Yeah.
Like, great line. She's been on the score sheet the last couple of weeks. I also like that winger, Milinia.
Milinia, yeah.
Really smooth mover, can swerve, can step. Look, I think Drua are building into the season. You know, they've already played the Waratahs, and I think the Waratahs belted them 2 or 3 weeks ago, but the Waratahs look like they're going to make the finals. There's no doubt about that. The match of the round this week is the Brumbies and Drua. I think the Drua are going to win, and hopefully, you know, they'll make it to the final against the Waratahs. But the Waratahs, they were pretty clinical against the Rebels last week. Move the ball well, set piece really strong. That Maya Stewart on the right wing for the Waratahs, she's scored, I think, 7 tries in the last 2 or 3 games.
Yeah, they've been impressive, the Waratahs, and it seems like them and Daylight, and then the Reds. Is there what's going up there with the Reds, last year's grand finalists?
It's a battle of the cellar dwellers, unfortunately, this week. I think they're playing today, actually, yeah. So I'm hoping they can get a win today. Both teams are zero. They haven't won a game yet, so let's just hope, eh?
Yeah, hopefully they get up, because, man, I think in a few weeks' time it's semi-finals footy, so it's a sprint for the Super W competition. Finally, Manu Samoa have appointed their new coach, Mahoney Swalga. He's going to take over Mapasua. You know, thoughts on that appointment? Obviously, he's played for Samoa, he's played for the Chiefs. Seems like the players were backing Mapasua to stay there, but yeah, there's a bit of a change there. What's your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, look, I think I'm sure he'd do a good job, but I'm really disappointed and feel really bad for Mups. I know him well. I thought he did a really good job the last couple of years, and I thought he deserved at least another couple of years to prove himself. And then if he did that, he deserved to go another cycle. The players loved him, you know, created a really good environment. He he attracted a lot of players, and there's a lot more players to come. So, yeah, really disappointed. You know, it smells of, again, a lot of politics involved in it. But, yeah, look, you know, Mupp's made a big move to relocate his family to Samoa a couple of years ago. So I was talking to him only a couple of days ago when I heard the news, and he's a bit unsure of what direction he takes now. But, yeah, a bit disappointed. Leaves a bit of a sour taste in the mouth.
Yeah, he is a great man, and hopefully he finds a job somewhere in the rugby world, because he's got a lot of knowledge. And and Tonga, are they any closer to maybe getting a coach?
I've heard absolutely nothing.
good to see you're still in the loop.
Which is standard typical of TRU.
Oh, awesome, mate. Well, on that note, we appreciate your time. We can't wait to do it all again next week.
Love your work, boys.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, so Sammy, the score's 2-2. Yeah, 2-2 to me, 2-2, because
Toop's got me back.
Yes, Tupo Supawanga, he got you an extra point. Yes, so we'll be doing another Who Am I on Professor Paulo. Let's go.
Who am I? I was born on the 20th of July in 1993 in Rotorua, New Zealand. I am of Tongan descent and have 17 siblings. My nickname is the Aquaman of the NBA, and I was drafted in 2013.
Yo, Steve Adams.
Who?
Steve Adams.
Player's name is Stephen Funaki Adams.
Oh, Funaki.
He has played for OKC Thunder, the Memphis Grizzlies, the New Orleans Pelicans, and his current team, the Houston Rockets.
I just went in there to go, I'm going to steal this.
Stephen Adams.
Stephen Adams.
3-2.
Funaki.
We've got the knockout tipping, so oh, I'm smoking you. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Hang on a tick.
Yep, that's right. It is 8-4 to me.
8-4?
Yep, yep. So we have to tip one team each week, but we can't tip them again. And so make sure you're tactical. We'll start with rugby.
Yeah, there's only 4 games this week. Brumbies over the Tars this week in Canberra. I'm going the Brumbies.
I will go with a safe bet, because I haven't picked them yet. The Auckland Blues.
Eden Park as well. No Aussie team wins at Eden Park. So that's almost a... sure,
and they
thing.
Are playing the...
the Force.
Just off
team.
The back of a loss to the Drua. They still got frogs in their socks. And they'll be heading over to play the Blues. So
hopefully
Auckland Blues, yeah. Let's get up. And off to the rugby league. We have...
I'm going to go off the back of my cousin's signing. I'm going to take Fins Up Dolphins over...
Sulis Tigers.
Inform. That's really never been said before in the last 10 years. Inform Tigers.
Wow. Because I had the safe bet with the Blues, I thought I'd roll the dice here. Had a really cool vibe last week when I visited this team, the St. George Illawarra Dragons. They are playing the Newcastle Knights.
In Newcastle.
I am back in the Dragons. There was just a cool vibe when I went there. And for my work at the RLPA, something that I'm not used to, going down to the Dragons and hearing island music in the gym. And it's not just your J-Boogs, not just your reggae beats, that were songs with Nate, like Tongan language.
Real cultural.
And just seeing the boys vibe out during the gym session. I was like, man, this is a really cool energy that they have here at the Dragons. Something I'm not used to.
I like that. I prefer not going off stats and line breaks. Defenders beaten, you got vibes, and I love that feel. Call.
Plenty of Nijian talent down there as well. So we're going the Dragons to beat the Knights in Newcastle. Thank me later.
And that's our time done for another Nijian Footy Friday.
Ka kite, and we'll see you on Monday.